Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here today. I would like to thank all of the people who came that brought information and are doing blood pressure checks and all out in the foyer. Thank you. If your Victory is not your regular home, thank you for being here today. We hope you feel at home. My husband is on his way down here. He's one of the sound men, and we have an opener we'd like to do with you all. Thank you to the worship team. That was just beautiful. I just love getting into the Lord's presence at the beginning of anything. That's part of what our bodies were created for. This is my husband, Lee.
Hello, I'd like to thank you all for coming too, especially Keller's calling on a Saturday morning like this. It's special to be here. And thank you for all your help for my wife. She's been really blessed by your ministry, your work, and your practice. I appreciate that. And we would like to, I like to say, you know, look at us. We are totally different. First of all, I'm a man. She's a woman, which is a good thing.
You're tall. I'm short.
I'm tall and short. I like sweets.
I like fruit.
I like sports.
I like music.
I like chocolate.
I like vanilla.
I like English peas in a can.
I like frozen English peas.
I like to read the newspaper.
I like to look at the newspaper.
I like to watch the news.
I like to watch HGTV.
I like to fish.
I like to hunt.
I like to be in the background.
I like to be out front.
I like to watch.
I like to perform.
I like trees. I'm a forester.
I like people.
Trees don't talk back. I like to watch TV.
I like to be active.
I like to kill at least 3 deer a year.
I like to only kill 1 deer a year.
And I like peace and quiet.
I like to socialize.
I like to play it by ear.
I like to plan.
I like to lay low.
I like to be busy.
I like to eat.
I like to cook.
That's good. I'm kind of a loner.
I like to entertain.
I like to save money.
I like to save and spend money.
I love cold weather. I love the wintertime.
I like warm weather.
I like to plan trips.
I like to be spontaneous.
I like working by myself.
I like working with others.
I love the Broncos.
I love the Cowboys.
Amen. I like action movies.
I like romantic comedies.
I like the color red. It's my favorite color.
My favorite color is blue.
And I like desserts that you buy in the store.
I like homemade healthy desserts.
I love the mountains and the snow.
I do too, but I like the beach too.
I like to sit in the car and take a nap.
I like to shop till you drop.
That wears me out. I like to be in the fastest checkout line. I look all the way down through there to find the shortest line to go through at the store.
I like to visit in line with people.
I like to drive.
I like to ride.
I like to live in the here and the now.
I like to dream about the future.
And I love God with all my heart.
And I love God with all my heart.
Amen. And I love my wife with all my heart.
And I love you with all my heart. Thank you, honey.
You're
so we wanted to make a point, like Lee started out, that we are different. And we have 2 different total health stories that I wanted to tell you just a little bit about and give my testimony. This is my health testimony. You know, we all have different kinds of testimonies. And I'm just thankful that God has a plan for our lives and we can actually pray to Him for that plan and we can listen to that plan. He has others in our lives that orchestrate that plan. And if we're obedient, then I believe that we can just live gloriously in all kinds of ways here on this earth. The magic number for me is the number 60. I'm about to be 60 this year. And I remember, it's been a while, but the Lord brought it back to my remembrance that I wanted to be at my healthy weight when I turned 60. How many of y'all feel like you're not at your healthy weight right now? Okay, that's the majority of the people. Even Dr. Keller raised his hand. But, you know, I'm at my wedding weight. I never thought that was going to ever happen because what happened was about 15 years ago, I had hernia surgery. I've always been a health nut, a naturalist, a holistic person. I've always been concerned about my earth suit. I've always exercised. But when I had that hernia surgery, I couldn't exercise for 6 weeks, and I didn't adjust my lifestyle. I kept eating the same amount, And therefore, I gained 10 pounds. And I think on that 10, I gained another 5. So, you know, I still kept exercising, though, after I recovered. But Dr. Keller started giving me books or telling me about books he had. I read it somewhere that said that you can keep exercising all you want to, but if you're not eating the right foods, you're not going to lose any weight. I don't know about your body, but that was me. So, back in August, Lee and I both started having neck problems. We both went to our family physician. That's Dr. Goss. I love her. That's Dr. Braden's daughter. And she was so accurate at her diagnosis. She told my husband, who was having trouble with his shoulder, it's not your shoulder. This is the problem. It's your neck. And she told me, I'm going to refer you to Dr. Keller, who's a chiropractor. I went to him, and he helped my neck so much. We were having the same symptoms, Dr. Goss and I. And it was from cell phone use. Have y'all ever had any problems with your neck because of your cell phone? Well, I found out from doing a lot of research for Dr. Keller that you're supposed to hold your cell phone right here in front of your face. You're not supposed to. Or he said our bodies are not made for our necks to look down like this. And I work on a college campus. I run into students that are walking on the sidewalk like this because they're not seeing who they're passing. So Dr. Goss referred Lee to do some testing and eventually to a neurologist. And she referred me to Dr. Keller, and this is back in August. So Lee found out that he had a pinched nerve in his neck that was causing his problem. And when he went in for surgery last fall, the doctor found that he had a gnarly bone spur that was pressing on that nerve in his neck, causing him to lose muscle in his arm. So see, if Lee hadn't gone that route, he'd be up creek. And I'm just thankful for all the physicians, all the helpers that God has put on this earth. And Lee has recovered just beautifully. And so have I. It was a different route. I've always wanted to go to a chiropractor, but I was afraid to. So how many times does fear keep us from going to something or doing something that we'd like to do or know that we should do? And my main concern was my back. I didn't want to go to a chiropractor. I didn't want anybody to touch my back because I only have 4 vertebrae in my lower back. The last two are fused together. But I have claimed my healing all these years and didn't have any problems as long as I was doing the right things. Well, Dr. Keller started working on my neck. That got so much better, and then my back started hurting. And what it was, you know, I may not be saying all this medically correctly, Dr. Keller, but you can straighten it out when you get up here. You know, I believe in alignment. And I want to go over some scriptures. I apologize for our screen. Is it working now? It's not working yet, but I apologize that the scripture won't be up there on the screen for you. But this is from 1 Corinthians. I don't know if you have your Bibles with you, but if you do, it's chapter 6. I believe in alignment. And that's not only physically, but it's also spiritually. So here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:13, the latter part of that verse. Well, I'll go ahead and read the whole thing. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And then verse 15 says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. And then verse 19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And then go over to chapter 9. This will be our last verse, chapter 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Well, I certainly don't want to be disqualified, so that's one reason why I'm up here sharing this testimony. My prayer is that something will be an inspiration to you. I know all of our bodies are different, and our bodies act differently for different people, but all of these things that Dr. Keller shared with me have worked. And a lot of it is discipline, like we just read in the body, our spiritual body here. So I mentioned that I wanted to lose weight. Okay, so in on my mother's side of the family is arthritis. I don't want to claim that, but I'm just telling you facts. And Dr. Goss told me once at my annual physical exam that she had to put down something, some kind of diagnosis, so she put osteoarthritis. I'm not claiming any of that. But Dr. Keller mentioned that he had a book written by a woman who cured her own arthritis, and she had osteoarthritis. And it was basically by the foods that she ate. So I read the whole book, and I determined that at the beginning of this year, I would start doing the fast that that woman did in that book. But, you know, back in August and September particularly, I started doing the things that Dr. Keller said. And he told me when my back was hurting, he told me it was because of inflammation in my body. And then I started doing research on inflammation. And he may tell you more about that. But inflammation is at the basis of all sicknesses and diseases, and even that C word that we don't like to mention. So arthritis is one of them. And so he told me the three things I needed to quit were dairy, sugar. I was already off of sugar, but I started reading labels. I cannot believe all the hidden sugars that are in things. And then the third one was wheat. I have experimented before with going gluten-free. So this time I said, okay, I'm going to try all three. I'm going to be religious about it. I'm going to be disciplined. And I'm going to see if it makes a difference. And I'm here to tell you, 30 pounds less, it has made a difference. I'm back to my wedding weight. I never thought that was going to happen. It's not from now. I continue to exercise. But he also gave me back exercises to do. I'm telling you, those have been tremendous. But again, you got to be disciplined. So we read a verse about it in the Bible just now. And I know if you'll do it, whatever God is telling you to do, God told Lee, go the route of the surgeon. And God used our medical, our family doctor to get us on this route. I feel like God told me to go the chiropractic route. It may not be for everybody, but I just wanted to share how it helped me tremendously. I now have no trouble with my neck. I have no trouble with my back. Let me show you something. When I first started going, and Dr. Keller gave me the exercises, the first one you're supposed to do is bend over and try to touch your toes. When I first started doing it, I could only get to right there. I still can't touch the floor, but look, I go all the way to about that much. Maybe it's because I'm so short. And another one was to do this. I could only get to right here. Now I can do this. So I don't know what that means to you, but it means the world to me. Because I really believe in being healthy and staying healthy. And I want to live to be 120. I still want to go on mission trips. And, you know, I want to be 80 years old taking my grandchildren on mission trips. And I know I have to be healthy to do that. You know, so I'm just trying to think if there's anything I wanted to share with you. And just to encourage you, again, whatever God is telling you to do, I really believe if you will be obedient and do that and be disciplined at it and be silly about it, then it's going to reap a world of benefits to you. And I cannot thank the Lord enough. I cannot thank the Lord enough. So if you want to know more, you know, come to me personally. I would be glad to share more with you. We even talked about maybe sometimes we need a little bit of support, especially if you're a member of this church and you'd like to do healthy things, eating, exercising, and maybe you need a little bit of support. We can do this in LOV if you're a woman. You know, if you're a man and you want to get a support person going, maybe talk to Dr. Keller, Brother Jerry, Brother William. You know, we could get a lot of support going because sometimes we need the partnership. We need the accountability to stay focused and whatever your goal is. So I'm just praying that all of everybody in this room will have the gumption to do what God is telling you. One more thing. this was really hard. This was the hardest thing for me, was to get off of coffee. The reason is, in the arthritis book, it said that if people that have arthritis tendencies or joint problems should not drink coffee. Not only that, but I have three generations now in my family who have had AFib. And that's, again, on my mom's side, and all three have had strokes. And I don't want that. I'm not claiming it. And we know that caffeine can cause that heart to be irregular. And that was the hardest thing for me. I had two bad days when I tried to get off of coffee. But God was gracious. I don't even miss it anymore. So, you know, I switched over to herbal teas. God has just been so good. I cannot thank him enough. I cannot thank Dr. Goss enough. I cannot thank Dr. Keller. Jackie, your support. What else could I say? I can't say anything else. Y'all get me? You feel me? All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for letting us share with you today. I'd like to now introduce Dr. Steve and Jackie Keller. And thank you all so much for being here today. You are an inspiration to many in this community, in churches around town. And we just appreciate y'all so much. Thank you so much for being here.
For just as you hypocritically judge others when you are sinful and unrepentant, so will you be judged, and in accordance with your standard of measure used to pass out judgment. Judgment will be measured to you. Why do you look at the insignificant speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice and acknowledge the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Let me get the speck out of your eye," when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, play actor, pretender, first get the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I know a lot more than I'm applying right now in my life. I'm just going to confess that to you because of the work in progress part, but I'm a lot further than I used to be. And that is the attitude and the mind that I want us to walk away with. This is a decision day, and as a member of the body of Christ, because you are, whether you signed up for it or whether you knew what you were signing up for or not, sacrifice and self-denial, you signed your name on that line also. Okay. 1 Corinthians 5:12 says, "For what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the body, within the church, to protect the church as the situation requires?" So I come today to you to judge the church as the situation requires. And we don't have to look very far to see. And we don't have to listen long to hear that we are in a place where there's a situation that is required in the body of Christ in regards to a health crisis. We don't look a lot different than the world, unfortunately, in that regard. Thankfully, in the spirit, we see blood. Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus. But when you stand in the prayer line and you hear the prayer requests, especially leadership here, you're hearing disease, 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 disease. And when you look around, you can see our temples that are not being tended to. You can see it with your eyes. So again, I'm bringing that hard word that no one wants to hear, including myself. And even though posture, there's appearances and posture and builds, maybe one person is thinner than another, but they can be just as sick as the next guy. So health has a lot of different levels. But again, I'm going to drive this point hard in here. You're here right now in this building under, and you're hearing right now, and therefore you are now responsible. Welcome to the club. Yay. Okay, so here is my exhortation. Whew, praise the Lord. It gets good now. Okay, 1 Peter 4:17. The end and culmination of all things is near. Woo! The end and the culmination of all things is near. Therefore, be sound-minded and self-controlled for the purpose of prayer. I want to just give you a personal testimony on that note. I love to pray. I love to be in his presence. I love to boss the devil around and tell him where to go and to let my friends alone. I love to call down the kingdom of God. I love to just be in his presence. It's a call of God on my life. And not so long ago, I was in a place of being very, very sluggish. Very sluggish. Falling asleep in prayer. And I was just kind of complaining at the Lord. This has been some time ago. Complaining at him as if that's his fault. That I'm, "God, don't you see me? Don't you see what I'm trying to do? Why can't I stay awake?" You know, well, I'll tell you why I couldn't stay awake. Because I was a sugar addict. That's why I couldn't stay awake. So if you can't stay awake, if you can stay awake when you're standing up and you're praising the Lord and all of the hallelujahs, but then when you get quiet before the Lord, you fall asleep, you're probably addicted to sugar. Ouch. Well, I was one of those people who said, how come candy couldn't be vegetables and vegetables couldn't be candy? That's me. It wasn't too long ago that I said that, by the way. I know how hard that is as a recovered alcoholic. Alcoholics are sugar addicts. That's what they are. They are addicted to sugar. And if you get sober, you are probably still addicted to sugar. You just don't use alcohol to feed it anymore. So if you've got the 2 o'clock tired, or you've got the 5 in the morning falling asleep when you're praying, you're probably addicted to sugar. Okay, I won't say anything more there. Okay. Okay, so the purpose of prayer is staying balanced and focused on the things of God so that your communication will be clear, reasonable, specific, and pleasing to Him. That's to Him. Above all, have fervent and unfailing love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. It overlooks unkindness and unselfishly seeks the best for others. So this is love. This is me loving you. In a minute, it's going to be Dr. Keller loving you when we tell you those hard things. I should have brought like pledge forms so everybody could sign their name and say, I heard it. I'm responsible now. The thing about health, and I so appreciate LaVonna's heart and the bringing this together, is that we could meet every week for the next 3 months. Easy. And just scrape the surface. When I needed to exercise, you know, I have 8 children. And so my body was, you know, had taken quite a beating through those years. And it wasn't until I was pregnant with my, actually I had had my 7th child and I didn't start exercising until after that. Anyway, I had to actually start teaching the class to make sure I showed up to exercise. I'm just telling you all the truth. This is what it is like when you have to be disciplined. You have to take extreme measures sometimes, okay? So sometimes that means you rearrange your whole life just to make sure that you show up for class. Well, I definitely am going to show up if I'm teaching it. That's a responsibility thing. Might be right, might be wrong. I don't know. That's what I had to do. So, okay, so employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace, faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favor. I can't move away from this point without saying that you are gifted. You are gifted and you are favored. Gifted and favored. Oh, my goodness, especially in this room, I'm looking around at all of the gifts and talents and abilities that God has bestowed on each one of you. Oh, it's overwhelming. And I'm so thankful for that. And it's not just for you. It's not to be hidden. It's to be cultivated and used. Another reason that we need to practice, good health. Okay, so I'm going to just finish up by saying, that is, Dr. Keller comes this morning to teach. Listen with the eyes of your understanding for application. And I appreciate what Sister LaVonna said about establishing some accountability. I'm telling you, everything is better with friends, for sure, and accountability. We're all in this together. We are running this race together. But don't you know, if I'm running a race with you, I mean, I want to encourage you along, but honestly, I want the prize. I mean, I'm doing it because I want to get to the end, right? We all need to have that attitude. It is the attitude of the Apostle Paul. We're striving in our devotion to the Lord. So raise your hand if you're here and wave it around and said, okay, God, I heard you. I heard you. I'm going to do it. Okay, God bless you. Here comes Dr. Keller.
Good morning. You guys are finishing up 21 days of fasting, is that correct? Those that are members here, that's always a fun time. We've got a favorite speaker we listen to that always brings a joke, and I was trying to find a joke on fasting, and it's not always easy to do, but I think I found one. You've all heard of Gandhi. So Mahatma Gandhi went around barefoot quite often. Eventually, his soles turned very tough and thick. Of course, he was a devout Hindu. Later in life, he fasted a lot, becoming thin and frail looking. And fasting tends to give a person a horrible smelling breath. So I guess you could say Gandhi was a super calloused, fragile mystic hexed by halitosis. So, like Jackie said, you know, we don't have everything all worked out. We are a work in progress, but we are striving to meet the mark. We're striving to do things. We have learned a lot of truth, and the Bible says if you learn the truth and you can apply it, it'll set you free. And so Lavana gave her testimony about how she was set free from certain things that she was struggling with. And the gospel or the good news is that you can be set free from those things as well. If, like they said, if you apply those things. And even though our bodies are different in many, many ways, in a lot of ways, we are the same, which is why, like in nature, there are laws, law of gravity. There's different things that happen. And so we can treat things and teach things. We can teach nurses how to take blood pressures on everybody because they're all the same. We can give everybody the, oh, you've got a headache. Well, we can give you this, this, or this, these three things. Maybe you need Tylenol, but you need ibuprofen. But we know that one of those is going to be working for this because even though we're in some ways different, we are quite similar. I'd like to start talking, too, about perspective. I feel like they kind of already shared half of what I wanted to share, which is good because we're all going to be redundant a little bit because sometimes you have to hear things five or six or seven times before it really sinks in and you can apply it. But have you ever had a bad day where you spilled coffee on your pants or you did something and you thought it just kind of ruined your day? And then you get where you're going and you find out that person you're talking to, maybe their mother died or something happened. All of a sudden, it puts everything into perspective, right? All of a sudden, that thing that you thought was such a big deal, all of a sudden is nothing, right? Because you now can see something more important than what you thought was important. Because you were kind of focused on your little world here where you spilled your coffee. But then when you saw the big picture, it really opened your eyes. And I was wanting to share a video on perspective. I don't know if they got things going or if things are going to work or not. No? Okay. So I was watching a pastor, and he gave a demonstration. He had a rope, and the rope went the entire length of the stage. And at the end of it, he had a little piece of tape, just a small little piece of tape on the end of the rope. And he said the rope represents eternity, and that small little piece at the end represented our life here on earth. You know, the Bible says our life here is like a vapor. You know, I mean, we're here and we're gone, right? And he said that a lot of times we lose perspective because what we're looking for, what we're striving for, is that finish line. When we make it through our life and then we stand before the judge, right? And when we're standing there, he's going to ask us, well, what did you do with your life? You know, and at that time, are we going to be glad that we watched 7,000 movies? Are we going to be glad that we lived and spent the money on the house that we live in? Are we glad that we bought the car that we drove? And if he says, well, what about those people I put around you? What did you do with them? When you went to Walmart, did you ignore them? Did you talk to them? Did you help them? I put them there to see what you would do. And we have an account. We're going to be called to account. Okay. And one of the things he was talking about was how his friends thought he was dumb because he said, what if you got an extra $1,000? What would you do with that $1,000? You know, you're thinking about all the things you could buy, or you could invest. And he said, why not just give it to the poor? He said, my friends thought I was dumb for doing that because they're like, well, you should think about your future. You know, you set that aside. It's silly to throw that away. And that's what a waste. And he says, well, I think you're silly because what they're talking about is I'm gonna live right through here and then right through here. I'm going to work really hard so that way in this little section right here, I can have a good time and travel. And he's like, well, what about all this? You know, they're ignoring the eternity. And he says, what I'm trying to do is not worry about the things I'm dealing with now. Give that up so that I can invest for my eternity. And so to put things into perspective, when I watched that, it just really blew me away. And it was interesting, the effect it had on me, because that's kind of basic Christianity 101. I mean, that's some milk right there, you know, talking about eternity and judgment and all that. But sometimes we get so caught up in the here and now and what we're dealing with that we kind of forget. You know, I mean, we're busy with work, we're busy with home and the kids and the house and everything. And then church is what we go and do. And we just, it's kind of part of our busyness, but we're still about us. And when you think about the end and meeting God and just standing there and looking up. You ever worship instead of looking around here and looking at the praise team, look up and just be you and God? Try it sometime. It's interesting because it really takes away from the distraction of around here. But when you look at eternity and know that we're going to stand before God and give an account for our life, the Bible even says we'll give an account for every word spoken. That's scary. You know, I've said some words that I don't appreciate that I said, you know. And so when we think about these things, it puts things into perspective. And when you have things in perspective, it makes hard things easier to do. The Bible says Jesus, you know, looking at what was set before him, endured the cross. Okay. And if we're supposed to be Christ-like ones, then we're supposed to follow his example. One of the things the Bible calls us to be is our priests. And priests are what? There's keepers of the temple, right? And so many times we see our temple as our church, kind of. We're like, well, we don't have temples today, but it's our church building, right, is what we think. And we're like, we make rules, you know, no food and drink in here, no running in the sanctuary. We'd be upset if somebody started spray painting things all over the walls. But yet the Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us have no rules for our bodies. You know, we can do what we want, eat what we want, look at what we want, say what we want. You know, we'll ask for forgiveness later. But we kind of are lax when it comes to our actual temples. And sometimes it's maybe it's habit, maybe it's society. But for whatever reason, we seem to put that importance into our sanctuary building versus our bodies. And Luke 9:23-25 says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever wants to lose their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet lose or forfeit their very self? And also, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, from whom you received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Think about that. You are not your own. And how many times do we think about that? You know, when we read these things, we kind of forget that, you know, this body's not mine. When we stand before God, he's going to say, what did you do with that body I gave you? That's mine. I paid for that with my son. Matthew 10:38 says, whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Romans 5:1-5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace through God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace for in which now we stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And that little verse right there summed up that video that I was going to show. We had technical difficulties. But it basically showed that, look, when we go to that finish line, when we cross that finish line, and right now as we strive to make it to that finish line, the sufferings that we do produce the fruit in us that allow us to be able to live right for him. Now, when we're talking about fasting in itself is nothing. God doesn't care if we fast or not fast. I mean, fasting, when you have the right attitude and you're looking at that finish line and you're trying to honor God, then you will deny yourself. You will, you know, Paul says he beats his body and makes it his slave so that in the end he will not be disqualified. Some versions say, I buffet my body. We kind of read that wrong sometimes. We say, I buffet my body. It's spelled the same, but it's pronounced different, means different things. And we laugh, but it's true, right? Because we do these things. But what's important is what we do. God doesn't say, well, how many scriptures did you know and how often did you go to church, right? He says, what did you do? Where's your fruit? And so when spiritual fasting is all a matter of the heart. It's not a religious action. Matthew 6, 16 through 18 says, when you fast, do not be somber like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have already earned their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face so that your fasting will not be obvious to men. So basically, he's saying, I don't want you to be, you know, when you fast, don't be a big showy show off to everybody and let them know how you're suffering. Keep it to yourself and just let it be between you and God. Because the point is your heart. You know, when you're fasting, you're trying to humble your heart before God. Isaiah 58 even talks about people who fasted and they said, God, we fasted. You didn't hear us. And God said, that's not the kind of fast I'm looking for. And he lists the type of fast. It was all actions of humbling themselves and serving others. And so ultimately, in church, we learn about these rules. But really, the rules without the heart don't make a difference. In the Old Testament, David broke the law. He and his men went in to the temple and ate the showbread. And you couldn't do that unless you were a priest. But he didn't get in trouble for that. But his heart was after God. But then Saul was waiting for them to have a sacrifice, and the prophet didn't show up, and the prophet didn't show up. So Saul just goes in and says, I'm just going to do it myself. His heart wasn't right, and he got in trouble for that. And so when it comes to these, it wasn't whether there was the law broken or was the law not broken. It was what was the heart of that person. Now, these things that we do, like Jackie said, Christianity is hard. It's hard to do this stuff. Fasting is hard. Good health is hard. You know, the scripture says, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. And I feel like that verse, you could say that about health. You could say that about Christianity. That's a scary verse. You know, when God says, I know few will find life, few will find that. Why does he say that? It's because he knows that few will give up the things willing that he says you have to give up. He tells you to, you know, unless you're willing to give up your parents or unless you're willing to give up your family, the guy was like, let me go bury my family. And he's like, no, just forget it. You know, either come with me now or just don't come. I mean, that's harsh. You know, we would think with our logic that that would be okay. You know, sure. Well, I understand. Go bury your family, then come on. But Jesus is like, no, you got to give, don't put anything above me, is what he says. And so when you look at these things, wide is the gate to destruction, narrow is the gate to life. You look at that along health reasons or health things, and we kind of say that in America. Just do what you want, and we'll fix you with medicine, right? Just eat what you want. You know, my dad went in and he had high blood pressure, and they didn't say, what do you eat? They didn't say, do you exercise? They didn't say, how are you living? They just said, take this pill, your blood pressure will go down. That is not very good for your health. Imagine if you had a car, you put it into neutral, you step on the gas and let that engine rev up and get all heated up into the temperature gauge goes up into the hot zone. And then your mechanic says, you take it out to McKelvin's, you're like, yeah, just pop the hood and throw an ice pack on there. And your temperature gauge will come back down to normal, right? Just once a day, put an ice pack on your engine. How long can you keep that up? How long can you keep that engine revved up, but your temperature gauge says normal because you're just doing a daily ice pack on there? Because what you're doing is you're taking care of the symptoms, which is a hot engine. You're not taking care of the cause, which would be take your foot off the accelerator, let your engine come back down to normal, and just idle like a normal car. And then you don't need ice packs. You don't need to do that. But so often that's the pattern that we are into with our health these days, is that we'll do things, things will get out of control, and then we just say, take this pill, and this symptom goes away. But yet, have you ever heard of anybody that has normal blood pressure because they're on a pill? Maybe they had high cholesterol, but it's normal now because they're on a pill. And then they go get a physical, and when they get their physical, all their numbers look good. Right? All their dials look right. But then you hear maybe 2 weeks after their physical, they died of a heart attack. You're like, oh, what happened? I'm not sure. Maybe it was just their time. Well, or maybe they had their foot on the accelerator. Something was wrong and all their dials said normal, right? Because we artificially put them there. And so the good news is we can do things about these. The Bible talks about sowing and reaping. And that's really, when it comes down to health, that's what we're talking about. Sowing is doing. Reaping is the result of what you've done. The Bible says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh they will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And a lot of us are deceived by that. We think everything runs in our family, or it's genetic, or we have these things. But Lavana's a testimony that you can choose to change. She can sow different things and get a different harvest or a different result. So many times we'll be in prayer meetings and people will pray for things, even like cancer. I was deceived about cancer because in my family, my mom had cancer, my grandpa had cancer, my sister had cancer. So you kind of think cancer runs in the family. And I went to a seminar, and at the seminar they were talking about how cancer, only 5 to 10% of cancers are genetic. And I was like, well, that means 90 to 95% would be lifestyle. I said, that can't be right. That's got to be wrong. So I didn't believe it, you know, so I had to go look it up myself. And, the Bible says test everything, right? So when you hear things from the script, from the pulpit, or when you hear things at a seminar, go look it up. So I go to the American Cancer Society website and I'm looking up information on cancer. And sure enough, it said that that is true. It said only 5 to 10% of cancers are inherited, which meant 90 to 95% are lifestyle. So why are we not hearing that? We never hear that. We just hear, you know, well, let's look for research to be able to fight cancer. And so what that means is, because we don't know things, Hosea says, my people perish. Why? For lack of knowledge. That means my people, God's people, Christians can die when they shouldn't die just because they don't know any better. So in the United States, the top 10 killers, check this out. Heart disease is number one, then cancer, then chronic lower respiratory disease, accidents, stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, flu and pneumonia, nephritis, and then intentional self-harm. Those are the top 10 killers in the United States. And of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, 6 out of 10 are what we call lifestyle diseases. We don't call them. I mean, you can look up it on the CDC website, the Center for Disease Control. You can look up lifestyle diseases, and those are diseases that you don't have to have. They're earned by how we're sowing, and it's what we're reaping. And then of those 10, 2 of them, flu and pneumonia and nephritis, are usually followed up by if you're diabetic, then you can have kidney problems. And if you've got COPD and respiratory issues, then that can lead to things like pneumonia, influenza. And so those are influenced by those. But a lot of these, I mean, if we could just get rid of those lifestyle diseases, I mean, it would make a huge impact on our healthcare system. And this is a list of all the lifestyle diseases that they mentioned. It wasn't all of them, but it was just a more extensive list. Was atherosclerosis, Alzheimer's, the majority of types of cancers. We said 90 to 95%. It's shocking to me, but that is a huge amount. And so many times we think that cancer is this black cloud that just kind of looms around and randomly touches this person or that person. But what happens is they're doing things that they don't know. They're sowing things that they don't realize are giving them a harvest of cancer. And I don't know how God works all the time. And I know that God heals. But if you have a farmer come to the altar and say, I planted corn all season long, but I want wheat, will you pray with me that God would give me wheat for my harvest, please? I think pastor might sit down and say, listen, we need to talk. You know, I don't think that God would go against the law of sowing and reaping and say, I'm going to give you a different harvest. And yet, do not be deceived. We do these things to ourselves. We plant these things. And then when we get it and pray, and so sometimes when somebody prays for something and maybe they're not healed, maybe it wasn't a disease they were attacked with. Maybe it was a harvest that they were sowing and reaping, and they need to be informed of those things. So with a lot of these, what we find, the biggest way you're like, okay, enough with the scripture, enough with these ideas, tell me something I can do, right? The things that we want to be able to do, like Lavana said, the biggest thing you can do to impact your health are two things. Number one is what you put in your mouth is the biggest thing that you can do to impact your health. Number two is how are you going to move? So each day, if you just go through that day and figure out, how am I going to move? Am I going to sit down on the couch? Am I going to get up and move around? Am I going to park as close to Walmart as I can so I don't have to walk? Or am I going to park way out here so I can walk extra miles? And a lot of people are getting those Fitbits and those little pedometers, and they're counting their steps, and it's encouraging them to move more. My sister-in-law has a gym, and everybody wants to go to the gym and get, you know, a slim stomach, and she tells people that six-pack abs are made 80% in the kitchen, not in the gym. 20% is in the gym. And so you can exercise all day long. You watch these infomercials. Infomercials are so evil because they know that faith comes by hearing, right? And so for 30 minutes, they tell you how good this product is over and over and over. And by the time you're done, you're like, yeah, I think that might be good. I need to buy that. But those things don't work unless you do them. Right. And so all those people that are in shape, they got in shape because they worked hard, not because of that product. Those products, you don't need any of those products. All you need to be able to do is be able to apply the word, do the word. We always are looking for, it seems like we're looking for that. I just want to know the secret. I'm going to come to the seminar and get the secret to success for this. Or I want to go and find out what's the secret to health. And the secret is there is no secret. It's horrible, right? And I fall into the same trap. I read that book, I Cured My Arthritis and You Can Too. And I was like, what is this? And she said she had done these things and she had zero pain. She was doing great. And she'd been bedridden before. And I'm like, okay. And faith comes by hearing. I'm starting to hear her testimony. I'm starting to believe what she's talking about. And she said, I went to our Arthritis Foundation had a convention that we had in our city. And I went there and I was sharing what I did to get rid of my arthritis. And I wasn't there 20 minutes and security shows up and escorts me out of there. I'm like, oh, I got to know what it is now. I've got patients with arthritis, you know, and what can I give them? Is it high doses of vitamin C? Is it shark cartilage? You know, what should I do to give them the thing? And when I got it and I read what she did, she ate right and she exercised, but she ate right very, very strictly. Very strictly, not doing what a lot of people do. Here's what I hear a lot of people do. They continue to eat their Cheetos and their hot dogs and eat some vegetables. I tried fruits and vegetables. It didn't work. Still had problems. And so we don't die to ourselves and do the tough things. And then we get upset when we don't have that harvest. And so I was talking to a patient the other day and she's like, I've been taking turmeric because I heard turmeric's anti-inflammatory. And I was doing this and doing that because that's anti-inflammatory. And I'm trying to eat anti-inflammatory foods. And I said, well, what are you putting down? And she's like, what? I said, it's like if you hear that Mr. Clean's floor polish is the best floor polish they have, and you put it on your floor and it doesn't work, and you complain about it. He said, this stuff's garbage. They said it was supposed to polish my floors. And then I tell them, well, what about that can of blue paint that you're walking around with and dripping blue paint everywhere? You know, you can't use the floor polish until you put down the can of blue paint. Then clean that up. Now your floors will get polished up and do really well. And so when it comes to your health, more than chiropractic, more than medicine, more than anything you can do, your food is your number one source. And then you're like, well, okay, give me some more. What foods should I eat? Nowadays, we have items that are foods and we have items that are non-food items. I don't know if you've ever read your labels and saw like some of the packages say processed cheese food. It doesn't say cheese, right? It says processed cheese food. Or if you went to Popeyes and got some honey, it says honey sauce. It's not even honey. It says honey, and then in tiny print, it says sauce, because they put all these things in there to make things cheap and quick and efficient and easy. But it's all stuff that's not food. And when we sew that into the body, it doesn't work right. At home, my lawnmower broke down. I took it in to get it fixed, and I asked the mechanic what was wrong. He said, your carburetor was gummed up. I said, okay. Did they just do that after a while? They get gummed up? You know, it's just maintenance? He says, no, you're probably using that ethanol fuel. I said, I am. Is that a problem? I've seen signs that say no ethanol. He said, yeah, it's a problem. He said, the maker of that engine designed it to run on gasoline, not corn alcohol. He said, ethanol is made out of corn. It's a corn alcohol. It's an additive to make it go further. And he says, and it gums up carburetors. I said, that's so interesting you're saying that. I said, I'm telling my patients the same thing. We're eating these things, right, that our body wasn't designed. The maker didn't design us to run off of boxed food and canned food. Okay? Back in the Bible, what were we designed to run on? Fruits, vegetables. The Bible says in Genesis, it says every seed-bearing plant. Okay? So originally, we started off vegetarian. And then after the flood, he says, okay, now I want you to eat meat. So he changed it, right? He told Noah, it's time to eat meat. So we started off vegetarian, but now we are instructed to eat meat. So there's your diet from your maker, right? Fruits, vegetables, chicken, fish. The Cancer Society says there's a lot of association with red meat and cancers. And so keeping your red meats down is usually good. Some people can process it well with their digestive system. Some don't do so well. But with chicken and fish, you do really well. And we've had a lot of people get healthy by simply going to that. And then you don't have to figure out, well, is this one good or is that one good? You can basically say, who made it, right? Did Procter & Gamble make it? Did some company make it, or did God make it? And then is it in God's packaging? Right? Because the more you get away from God's packaging, we've got to process it and then add additives to it so to make it last longer and all these different things. And it's the additives and all these different things that will flare things up and cause problems. And so if you can go that way, Jackie said health comes in different sizes. We had a lady that was thin as a pencil. I mean, she was super slim, but her blood pressure was through the roof. And so she doesn't, you know, sometimes you can tell people's health by looking at their fruit, right? You can just look at they're overweight, or you can just tell they're not healthy. And with her, you couldn't tell. And she says, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, I'm on this blood pressure and that blood pressure. I said, just do this. I said, why don't you just get off all the things that could be inflammatory in your diet, and just go back to just water, fruits, vegetables, chicken, fish, and just try that, see how you do. And she did that for 2 weeks. And after the 2 weeks was up, she came in and she was all excited because her blood pressure had come back down to normal. So basically what had happened was, I don't know which chemical it was. I don't know if it was an additive in this food, that food, the other food, if it was bread, wheat, dairy, I don't know. But what she did when she got off all of that, instead of us having to pick and choose and find out which one it was, we just went back to the basics. And let me tell you, eating fruits and vegetables, chicken and fish is not fasting, right? This might be new. This might be the biggest news of the day, okay? Because a lot of times, you know, I'll be in church and they'll call a fast, right? And it's kind of like, well, fast whatever you want, you know? And people are like, oh, I'll fast ice cream, I guess, maybe. Or, you know, I mean, sometimes we get so fleshy that we give up part of our flesh and think it's dying to ourselves. And we're just dying to part of our flesh. And so we have to go through some layers to get down to dying to flesh. In the Bible, every time they called a fast, when Jesus fasted, he fasted food. He just went to, not fast food. That's different. He fasted food. He got off food and just did water. I know Daniel did some different fasting back in the day, and you can fast different things, but I would recommend you try to do a hard thing and fast food at some point. If you can't do that yourself, get yourself a friend. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and we're supposed to be able to push ourselves to do these things, because the benefit of this, if you read your Bible and follow what it says, you can get healthy. You will get healthy. Or you can do, like before I was watching that video, you know, you can get caught up in everything and just get busy. And then you start filtering everything, not through how am I going to finish? How am I going to answer to God about how I took care of this body? You start to say, well, but I like that. we were talking about going to El Dorado for to get some supplies for remodeling the house, and I was like, oh, we could go to that Chinese food, you know, Chinese buffet. And I was like, wait, I can't. I'm fasting. And then I'm like, I don't even want to go. And I was like, listen to that. I'm listening to my thought process. Is like going to eat is a reason to go to town. You're like, we'll go there just to eat because that sounds great, you know. And so we do. We love to eat. And when she asked about who's not at the right weight, and I raised my hand, you know, I'm judged by Woodman of the World on my weight, right? Right. I've got life insurance, and my rates are higher because my BMI, or body mass index, where you get your height and divide it by your weight. My BMI says, well, as of 2 days ago, I was obese. I was 30% body fat. And then I weighed myself yesterday and I got down to 29.5 or 0.8. So I got just out of obese into overweight. And why does Woodman of the World judge me and make me pay more? Because they know the statistics. They know the health stats. Because even though we're all different, we're all the same. And they know people whose BMIs are up are at higher risk for what? All these lifestyle diseases, diabetes, cancer, osteoarthritis, all these different things. And so that is just me reaping what I've been sowing. And so you can really tell how a person's been living by those things. And I passed out a handout. I don't know if any of you got those out on the table. There was a handout that talks about losing weight, and one of the list, it lists markers of inflammation is at the top of it. And there's a list of all these different things that you can do. And really what this is looking at your harvest. Okay. You can check your blood pressure. You can check your BMI. You can check your waist to hip ratio. All these things, it says they're markers for inflammation, but anytime you measure inflammation, you can measure weight or health, because inflammation, as inflammation goes up, your health goes down. As inflammation goes down, your health gets better. And so that list right there is a proactive thing that you can do. You can take that. And what I would recommend would be start with the things that you don't have to go to the doctor for. You don't have to go to the doctor for your weight, for your BMI. You can get out a tape measure and measure around your waist. The waist to hip ratio, your waist is around your midsection. You'd measure just an inch below your belly button and you find out what that is. Don't suck in. Right. Go home, take off your shirt, let it all hang out, and you know, be real with yourself. Right. Be real with yourself and measure these things. And then your hips would be where the knob is, not up here on top, but where the knob is on the side. And then you just make that ratio, calculate those things out. And if those things are off, that's a great place to start. Once those are in line, or if you don't have any of those, then you can go get the blood tests. There's a vitamin D test on there. There's fasting blood glucose. There's some different tests you can do. And if those numbers are off, it's a sign that you have inflammation in your body. And if you have inflammation in your body, that tells you you're starting to head towards those disease processes. But if you can get those things in line, then you can be very, very healthy. And then people want to know how much they can cheat, right? They're like, well, if Lavana got off bread and dairy, can she cheat a little bit? How much can she have, right? And that's a tricky topic, because you can cheat a little bit, but it just depends on your willpower, right? Because a lot of people, once they cross that line, what happens? Well, now you'll go across it again and again and again. We used to never eat at Sonic. And then my son got a job there, right? And I've got the great idea to say, let's go visit him, right? He'll love it. Like, we'll drive up and we can say, hey, there's Jackson working. And so we did this. We go visit him, and everybody got a mini. Everybody, the adults, everybody got a mini shake, right? And then we do that again. And then Jackson brings home shakes. And then pretty soon, we're like going to Sonic all the time. This is crazy. So sometimes, if you know, it's okay to go to Sonic, but it's not okay to go all the time, right? What do people say? Everything in moderation. Yeah, we say that, but who does it? Nobody. Nobody does moderation. If I did moderation, I wouldn't be paying Woodman of the World extra money because my BMI is off, right? Because I would do everything in moderation. If anyone has questions about the handout, please come up to me afterwards. Through all this, we've been trying to get our eating better, to get healthy. A lot of it's a mental game. right? Because we should just be able to go do fruits, vegetables, chicken, fish, and just suck it up and be good. But it's hard. You know, the more kids we've got, the busier we got, the busier we get, the less well we do. We've done really good at first when we just had a couple kids. You know, our kids used to drink juiced carrots and goat milk in their baby bottles. And then since then, you know, things have changed. But we're, like I said, a work in progress. We don't have everything figured out, but we are definitely on that route. I have done different fasts. I've done a three-day fast, 5-day fast, 7-day fast, 21-day fast of water. And now I'm trying for the first time that arthritis diet, where she did a modified fast, which was the lady that wrote that book. She did a fast for a set amount of time, about 5 days. Then she did 5 days of water and fruits, and then 5 day water, fruits, and vegetables. And for me, I think it's easier to say I'm not eating anything in my mouth except for water, than it is to say, okay, you can eat as much as you want, but only fruit. You know, that's tough. That is really tough. But it's but it pushes us to persevere, and the more we persevere, the more character we build, and we're able to push through these things. So basically, what I really want you guys to take away with are a couple things. Number one, keep your focus on the finish line. Remember that. This life, what you do, what you spend your money on, what you do with your time, it's all going to be judged by God. He's gonna call an account, and just make sure that you are honoring God, that you can say, God, you know, I honor you with this. How many, have you ever prayed and been like, God, please bless this food? I hadn't heard my kids say, God, please make this healthy for us in some way. You know, I was like, oh man, talk about being convicted. You know, when your kids are praying over the food and they're like, I don't know how God's going to bless this. But you know, that's real life. And like we said, we're trying to, continue to move forward, die to ourselves and go from there. And, the other thing I'd like you to take away with is know that for your health, the two things that most affect you, the biggest, matter of fact, what you do and what you put in your mouth are a seed sown either for health and your future or for death and destruction. And I want to close with this. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kellers. We wanted to spend the last 5 minutes now if you have questions. And I want to just tell you that this this meeting is for information and to share. And if you were expecting ministry time, I'm sorry, this is not that kind of meeting. But we do have some wonderful meetings that are coming up here at Victory Church. You're welcome to come on Sunday. We have a man who comes every year named Brother Bill Norton. And there will be plenty of times for ministry if you'd like to join any of our services. But if anyone has a question you'd like to ask either Jackie or Dr. Keller, I'll bring the microphone to you. Okay, thank you. We do have another event at 11:30, so we wanted to get out of here.
My question is, I have a friend who has fibromyalgia, and what was something that I can tell her, because she don't really exercise, she don't really do much.
With fibromyalgia, fibromyalgia is listed as an autoimmune disease. An autoimmune disease is where your body's fighting itself. And we complicate things so much. She doesn't have to exercise. Probably one of the best things to do would be to start getting her to watch. There's a YouTube video, and I say YouTube video because what you need to do, if you just tell her what to do, she won't want to do it, right? Because we just want to do what we want to do, right? And if we know how the brain works, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That's why McDonald's spends millions of dollars on a 30-second Super Bowl ad. Right. And we all know about McDonald's, but they know that if they get enough people to hear the message, they'll deserve a break today and love it and go get it. And so if the best way to help her would be to, there's a YouTube video of
of a doctor, if you want to write this down. Her name is Dr. Terry Walls, W-A-H-L-S. And if you Google Dr. Terry Walls TED Talk, like the man's name, TED, it stands for Technology, Education, and Development. And what she talks about is her diagnosis. She's a medical doctor, and she talks about her diagnosis of multiple sclerosis, which is also an autoimmune disease. And I've never in my life heard of anybody with MS getting better, but she's giving her testimony during this TED Talk about how she improved her life, but she made a radical change. But what she did was she got rid of all foods except for fruits, vegetables at first, and then later she added other things. But she did a radical, radical change, and in doing so, her body was able to heal up. And with fibro, it's the same thing. I've had patients at the office who have done this, and they've radically changed their diet. We had one lady, she couldn't even stand and cook a meal. She would get so painful, she'd have to sit down and rest mid-meal, and then she'd get back up, finish cooking, and go lay down and sleep, and everybody would eat. And she did this where she changed her diet, got off all the inflammatory foods, really went hardcore, no canned food, no boxed food. It's tough. But she did it, and when she did it, she had more energy. She was able to cook a whole meal. She said she was so excited. She said she was able to cook a whole meal, sit down with everybody during the meal, and then afterwards play cards with the grandkids. And so here she was getting her life back. Awesome. But she was with a group that did it for 30 days. Right? And that's the problem where we do is we make our goal and we say, I'm going to do this for 30 days. I'm going to do a diet for this amount of time. And then when it's done, we don't have a long-term goal. Right? And so we go back to our old habits. Right? And it's interesting how life and scripture parallel each other.
Yes.
Somebody was asking me about fasting and saying, well, does fasting mess up your metabolism? Do you gain more weight? I heard that happens. And I've seen that. I've seen where people will do something. So it's not good to fast for weight loss. You want to fast for spiritual reasons or maybe for health reasons. But in that situation, she went back to her old habits. And what does the Bible say about casting out devils, right? Uh-huh. They'll go away. And if you don't, the house gets cleaned out. But if you don't fill it back up, they'll come back worse. Mm-hmm. And so she went back to her old habits just as bad, if not worse, than she was the first time. So when you do a change like that, you've got to keep it up and then keep filling yourself up with good things. And so she really needed to continue on and not go back to that those old things. But I see those parallels happen like that. But the first thing to do is not have her change. First thing to do is just have her play that over and over and over. Because the more she hears that message, the more she starts to believe it.
Thank you. Good question. Well, let me go over here to Brother William. And this will be the last question in here, but Dr. Keller mentioned that if you have something you'd like to talk with them, they'll be out in the foyer for a little while. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I agree that eating and drinking is one of the primary reasons of our health. But could you address up the top of we hadn't talked much about today, we're a chemical factory, and could you address just momentarily that stress is right up the top of the list, even if we try to eat and drink right. Stress is one of the top killers and one of the top disease producers in our life as well.
Well, the top 10 were those that I listed. That's from the CDC website. And stress does affect blood pressure. And so all these things are intermixed around. They link together. But the top ones being heart disease, cancer, respiratory diseases. Chemicals can be an issue as well. Like with cancer, when you talk about looking at the Cancer Society website where they talk about people getting cancer, food's only 30% of that problem. Chemical exposure is 70% of that problem. So I knew there was a book written by Suzanne Summer. She got cancer, and she said, I thought this was a lifestyle disease. I'm confused, doctor. And he says, yeah, it is. She says, well, I'm vegetarian, and I exercise. I sold the Thighmaster on TV. I mean, come on. But he says, well, what you forgot about was your chemical exposure. And stress plays a role in a lot of the different things with blood pressure. When we get stressed out, what do we do to feel better? We eat. You know, we do, right? You get stressed, you're like, oh, man, if I just go get some, you know, you'll feel better. And so people do that. They'll go and, you know, eat their little tub of ice cream and not tell anybody. But we do these things. Stress, it affects your blood pressure, all those things. So, yeah, stress is definitely a big deal. But your stress levels can go down the better you take care of your body. The more your body's in shape, the better you do stress-wise as well.
And, of course, this would be where exercise would come in. You know, exercise is the
exercise being an endorphin release. So when you're dealing with matters of stress, this would really be where exercise would apply in your life as well. And learning to rest in the Lord, of course. The thing about what we're talking about topic-wise is that we're dealing with like the actual physical body, but we really know that we cannot separate the spirit from the body because they do all go together. It's a process.
Now, with the scripture that talks about exercise in the body being some benefit, but spiritual things being benefit for here and after, that doesn't mean exercise and taking care of the body is not good. It is good, but when you look at your timeline and you look at our life as like this big, there's tiny benefit there. But while we're here, that's where we are. So, I mean, we benefit now with exercise, but spiritual things we can benefit now and forever. And so there's much greater in that. But some people throw out the exercise or they throw out the health benefits now.
We could go all day. And thank you so much. Please feel free to visit with the Kellers in the foyer.